This podcast is presented to you by Pastor Joe Bevilacqua and New Chapel in Grand Rapids, Michigan. For more information, please visit newchapel.com.
Well, good morning. Welcome to New Chapel in the second week of our series, Healed. My name is Joe Bevilacqua. I'm the lead pastor here, and today is an awesome day. I'm excited about what God has for us. I'm excited about what God wants to reveal to us in His Word. If you have your Bibles handy, open them with me to the book of Isaiah, chapter 53. I really struggled with writing this message to the point where I worked on it probably three times longer than I work on most messages. Yesterday, I was facing 14 pages of notes when I normally come in with about three or four. And I realized right around noon, number one, we need to get this thing in the can because the tech guys are waiting for my notes, and I normally have like 1,000 scriptures and points and pictures and videos that I want and that kind of stuff. They need that. But then part two, I realized we have to cut this thing down. So what I did was this. I cut this thing down back to my typical 3.5-4 pages. It's going to give you a simple answer to the question, is it God's will to heal every person, every time? I'm going to give you a simple answer, not a simplistic answer. I'm not going to baby you, and I'm not going to give you something that's just a run-of-the-mill, quick answer. That's not what we're looking for here. We want a simple answer, though, that can give us truth. So here's what I'm going to do. If you are really struggling with this, if you're fighting with the idea, I don't know, I hear what you're saying, I know God is good, I know that He's for me, but I'm struggling whether or not it's His will to heal me, I'm going to point you to two different directions. The first one is you need to go out to guest services and buy the book, Christ the Healer. It's for $10, okay? I threw in a really trendy bookmark, and on the back it has a scripture, okay? We make no money off of these books, but the idea is this. Unless you want me to preach 2 hours, which I'm ready, what I want to do is give you a message and get you out for the weekend and leave you with this book. If you want to see the most concise documentation and just a line upon line, precept upon precept, illustration, explanation for the fact that Christ is the healer, you need to get this book. Give it the time it deserves. Well, I don't agree with that. If you didn't read this book and you have that opinion still, you're not entitled to the opinion. Do the homework. Does that make sense? It's like the people that complain about the government and don't vote. Gone now. Gone. Leave. God bless you. You either vote or you don't get to complain about the government. You either study this thing through to completion. And if you get to the end of this book, you're like in the book of Acts, the Bereans. You go home and you study the scriptures, and you still come to the conclusion that God is not the healer. God bless you. You are entitled to be wrong. But at the end of the day, wrestle it through to completion. Say amen, somebody. The second resource I'm going to point you to is newchapel.com/healed. Newchapel.com/healed. We've got healing scriptures up there. We have last week's message up there. I'm going to be posting a lot of the 14 pages and much more on that site. And that site's going to stay up indefinitely for the purpose of people that when they get sick, and I'm talking about whether it's flu or cancer, you can go to that site, find all the resources that you need. And then also, we've talked with some of our volunteers, and one of them just said, man, I get it. I understand Christ is the healer. But it's just really hard for me to explain to other people. We understand that, and we're planning for that. This entire series is going to be put together in a box set. And the main reason was for when Pastor Kobe and I go visit somebody at the hospital, we want to leave them with a CD series and a book and take off. You know what I'm saying? Look, I mean, I'll spend time with them and pray, but that's just good. Hey, bye. New Personal Church USA. Here's your delivery. Jimmy Johnson. No. So but what we want to do is package this thing so that people who are really struggling with this, you can give them the thing and be like, hey, study it through to completion. Find out what God says in His Word about this, because it deserves to be wrestled through. Now, in writing this and when I began to whittle it down, I found that the best way to do this was to find the common questions, the really piercing, profound questions about God being a healing God, and then answering them. So I did this in a question-answer format. So the first question is this. Can we understand God's will to heal? Can we even understand that? My church growing up believed that God could heal, like it was within His capacity. And they would say the statement. They would say, we believe that God can heal if it be His will. And that's how they would say it. And on the surface, I agree with that. Of course, I know His will. But what they were implying by that was that you could not know God's will, that it was mysterious, that it was ominous, that it was ambiguous. You couldn't really put a finger on that and say, this is what God's will is. And it was so individual for people. And they got that in their defense, largely off of God's individual calls for people. And God looks at you as his individual kids, and he has calls for you. But his blessings, I mean, it would be unjust for him to appropriate to one and not to another. So God has specific blessings that are for you in your situation. So the problem that I really have in churches that believe, you know, if it be God's will, then he could heal you, is rarely do we ever see any healings in those churches. You would think it would at least be 50%. No, half and half. We'd see at least half get healed. Maybe it wasn't God's will for the other half, for whatever reason. Or what would happen is you'd at least see 20%. But we never see the wheelchairs get put on the stage. We never see the crutches get put up. We never hear a lot about cancer being healed from these churches that just don't believe that it's God's will. Because at the end of the day, that's really what they believe. They believe that in past, that the last apostle or some sort of doctrine that they made up or that they heard somebody else made up. So what they did is they said, it's done. It was. He did incredible things. But his focus now is salvation. And I don't believe we have to make the discernment between salvation and God blessing our lives. Say amen, somebody. So that's really what God is trying to get to us, is the fact that he wants us to walk in his will. And the Bible really makes clear the fact that the people that pine and guess and wonder about what God's will is, he calls them unwise. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17, Scripture says, do not be unwise. Understand what the will of the Lord is. I get really frustrated when I hear people talk about some ominous, spooky, oh, it's the will of God. The secret things belong to the Lord, Pastor Joe. You will never know the true depths of what Christ has for you. You'll never know. That is such malarkey. The Bible calls that person unwise. You listen to unwise people, you better stop listening to that pet teacher that's talking about how you can't know the will of God, because it defies the book of Ephesians. Does that make sense? Let's just make a determination as we go into this message, into the series. We're going to side with Jesus, whatever he says. Amen. Amen, somebody? Okay, so write it down. We should understand God's will concerning our health. Where does sickness come from? Second question. What is its origin? For the first 17 years of my life, before I knew the truth, I'll put it that way, I believed that God would put sickness on people to teach them things. That's what I believed. I believed that I was going to God's school, that he may or may not heal me. And that was kind of a sick joke because I was born with club feet. You know, so it was kind of like, I don't know, God's got to help for Joe Bev. You know what I mean? I don't know why I've got club feet, but God's got to, he's trying to teach me something. And I just need to be patient. I need to learn patience. I need to learn to be resolved in the midst of all of this. And the will of God is ominous. I'll never really know what he has for me. But what I do need to do is I need to learn whatever he's trying to get toward me. And I just wonder, how can you have faith for God to heal you if you think he put it on you? How could you possibly believe that? But many people believe that. Even some people in this room, you believe in some way God put it on you to teach you something, to take you through. And my question to you is this. If God put it on you, why are you taking all kinds of medication, physical therapy, and doing everything that you can do to stop the will of God for your life? Really think about how broken their theology is. Okay, so it's God's will. So you see, you're going to go to the hospital, you're going to take 1,000 different prescriptions, you're going to do all these different things. What? To interrupt all the great things that God's trying to teach you during this thing? Oh, Pastor Joe, but I learned so much during my last sickness. Well, you better pray you get sick again. That just makes no sense for me. Are you saying, Pastor Joe, not to take medicine? No. You better take your medicine until your faith's made you well, or you're going to die, okay? I have to be very clear about that. But if you have the perspective, how hypocritical for preachers and people to get up and say, God's trying to put something on you that you can learn from it, and then they go to all kinds of physical therapy, all kinds of treatments, all kinds of chemos, all kinds of pills to stop it. What are they doing? In essence, you're defying what you just said. You're trying to stop the will of God for your life. So where does sickness come from? Jesus was asleep in a boat. And he's asleep in this boat, and this like hurricane force storm starts against the boat. And the disciples are wigging out, and they realize, where's Jesus? Where's Jesus? Have you ever felt like that? Where's Jesus? Let me just tell you, he's in the place of rest all the time. So they go to the bottom of the boat, and Jesus is sleeping, literally, not figuratively. He's sleeping in the boat. And they wake him up, and they say, Jesus, don't you care that we're perishing? Wake up. Do something about this. And I'm sure he wiped asleep from his eyes and went up to the helm of the boat. And the Bible says that he released peace unto the storm. How could he release peace unto the storm? How could he sleep during the storm? See, because he wasn't in a world that had a storm. He was living in a world that had peace. Spiritual people are going to get this. The world, the kingdom reality that Jesus was in, the world didn't have a storm. He lived in a world of peace. So he goes up to the helm of the boat, and he releases peace. The Bible says in King James that he said, "Peace, be still." We said last week that he actually made a noise. He went, shh. He released peace under the storm, and the storm stopped. But how can that happen? You can't give what you don't have. Listen to me. Can God give sickness? No. He's not sick. He doesn't have cancer. He doesn't have a broken back. Well, where does sickness come from? It doesn't come from God because he doesn't have the capacity to give it to you. We pray that way, right? We pray on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, we want your will on earth as it is in heaven. Is there cancer in heaven? They have all kinds of hospitals in heaven. I mean, I hope that they're better than Spectrum. They take forever. I have fully learned that when you go to the doctor's office, they call it a medical practice. You know why? They are practicing. They don't know what they got going on. You know what I'm saying? There's no hospitals in heaven, so we pray, Lord, we want your will on earth as it is in heaven. Heaven doesn't have cancer to give you. Cancer doesn't have arthritis to give you. Heaven is pure and clean and whole. If God wanted you, if God wanted the Christian to be sick, what he would have done is when he went to earth, when he created earth, he created Adam, they were in paradise. It was his perfect expression of what earth should be, right? Before man fell is what I'm talking about. Before man fell, earth was perfect. Adam would have been blessed with cancer if it was a blessing. If that was God's will for man, it would have happened in the garden because it's the clearest expression of what earth should be like today. But that's ridiculous. James chapter 1, the Bible says every good gift, every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights. And in case you're wondering, there is no variation or shadow of turning. He makes it abundantly clear. It's not from me, guys. You think it's from me? It's not from me. And he corrects that over and over again in Scripture. And to be perfectly clear, where does sickness come from? Acts 10 and verse 38. Jesus went about doing good and healing all those who were oppressed by the devil. What's the origin? It's the enemy, folks. It's an enemy that's always out to take your lunch, to run your life into the ground. Write it down. Sickness, disease, and the like come from the devil. Healing, blessing, and promotion come from God. From the Father of lights is what the Bible says. So what is God's will for us? I had you open to Isaiah chapter 53. I want to read you a scripture there that's very, very significant. Isaiah chapter 53. Scripture says this in the Amplified Version. What's the Amplified Version? It's a very conservative translation of the Bible, because what they do is some of the hard words, they'll put in parentheses or in brackets the Greek or Hebrew definition of it. It's very conservative, so you can really understand what Scripture's saying. Isaiah says this about Jesus. Isaiah 53, verse 4. He has borne our griefs. Griefs is the Hebrew word for sickness, weakness, and distress. And carried our sorrows and our pains of punishment. Yet we ignorantly considered him stricken, smitten, and afflicted by God. Stop for a second. Everybody look at me. If you start ascribing sickness and disease to God, the Bible calls you ignorant. The Bible calls your pet teacher that calls sickness and disease a blessing from God. The Bible calls them ignorant. It's ignorance. You thought it came from God. Verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our guilt and iniquities. The chastisement needful to obtain peace and well-being for us was upon him. And with the stripes that wounded him, we are healed and made whole. When Scripture says that the chastisement needful to obtain our peace, that word peace is the Hebrew word shalom. It implies nothing missing, nothing broken. When the Bible says healed, it's that same word that we learned about last week, rapha, literally physical healing. You can't dice it any other way. But there are people that dice it every other way. They start to say that what he's talking about is spiritual healing. Now, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, track with me for a second. says that you were made in the image of God. You are a spirit, you have soul, you live in a body. You are a three-part being because God is a three-part being. There's three pieces that compose you. Okay? Now the Bible talks about physical healing. We know that for sure. The Bible talks about healing the brokenhearted, and that's in the soul. It also talks about in Romans 12, 2, renewing your mind. So we know that the body can be healed. We've seen Jesus do it. We've heard other illustrations. And we literally know that the Hebrew word is talking about physical healing. But let's just say we don't know. It is also talking about healing of the soul. It never one time talks about healing of the spirit. Do you know why? You are either dead spiritually or you're born again. There is no gray area. There is no confusion. The Bible says that before you accepted Christ, you were dead in your trespasses. Does that make sense to you? And then when you become born again, you are alive. The Bible says that his spirit and your spirit are one. It's actually the only part of you that's perfect. Yeah. So if you're wondering if Pastor Joe is perfect, at least one third. Okay? So there's a part of me, there's a part of the Christian, there's a part of you that is perfect, that does not need to be healed. There's no such thing. Listen to me. There's times you'll read the Bible, and you'll think it's talking about my spirit. There's no such thing. It doesn't exist. However, being born again does. Now, when you accept Christ, we go into this common salvation. The Bible says that when you accept Christ, that there are some benefits to being a Christian. Psalm 103, verse 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits, who forgives all of your iniquities. Anybody have a problem with that? He forgives iniquities, forgives sins, and who heals all of your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction. I don't know how much more clear you could possibly be. When Jesus actually walked the earth, I know it's God's, but track with me. When Jesus walked the earth, the big problem that the Pharisees had with him was not the fact that he healed, because you couldn't argue against it. That guy was a leper, he could heal. The guy had no legs, now he's got legs. The guy had a withered hand, now he's got a hand. There's no argument as healing. You know what they argued Jesus about? Whether or not he had the power to forgive sins. Isn't it funny how culture changes, and now we have no problem. You go to any church in America, just about any church in America, you say, can Jesus forgive sins? Oh, Jesus forgives sins. Can he heal all your diseases? Well, if it is what we believe in teddy bear Jesus, if he loves you enough, and you make up your own wild doctrines that have nothing to do with the Bible, but you feel comfortable when you say it because it lines up with your experience. We're going to talk about that specifically in a second. How does he heal? 1 Peter 2:24. Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died with sins, as part of the salvation process, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Let me be very clear. Part of the redemption process of crucifying and killing Jesus included two main portions. The portion where they massacred him, and the portion where they put him on the cross and killed him, executed him. The Bible says that he took stripes on his back. Pontius Pilate actually gave him what would be considered in that time a death sentence. It was 40 stripes minus one. 40 stripes actually would have been the death sentence. 39 stripes was what Jesus took on his back, but we believe actually he probably took a little bit more. Science will tell us that there's 39 root causes to sickness and disease that exist in our world today. Like if you compose any of your cancers, any of your AIDS, anything together, it's all a derivative of 39 root causes, deformities, mutations that happen in the human condition. Now, I've heard that. I don't know if that's exactly true, but whether that little fact, that blip is true, the Bible says that by his stripes, the stripes that he took on his back, we are healed. Write it down very clearly. Remember this moment. It is God's will to heal. It is God's will to heal. Did Jesus heal every kind of sickness? That's a great question, because we sometimes struggle because there's new illnesses that come up. There's new things that kind of pop up in the human condition. And it deals with that specifically in Deuteronomy chapter 28, but I'll talk about Matthew 4 because this is Jesus. Jesus went about preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. Matthew 9:35, Jesus went healing every sickness and every disease. Guys, one-fifth of the gospel accounts deals with Jesus healing other people. 727 out of the 3,779 scriptures of the gospels deal specifically with healing, miracles, and resurrection from the dead. God wants to get healing to his people. There are 40 recorded healing events in the Gospels, some of which included thousands of people that were miraculously healed in mass. Write it down. It is God's will to heal every kind of sickness, disease, and physical infirmity in Jesus' name. I believe that it's God's will to heal all things, Pastor Joe, but is it God's will to heal me personally? I'm so glad that Jesus makes it clear in John chapter 10, verse 10, the great dividing line of the Bible. If you're around New Chapel for any amount of time, you're going to hear this scripture. The Bible says that the thief, the enemy, the devil does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Jesus said, I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. His vision for you is life. And that is the Greek word zoe, which is talking about a physical life here on earth, not talking about a life in heaven. There's no need for healing in heaven. There's no need for him to bless you with abundant life in heaven. You have the abundant life in heaven. Does that make sense? You're walking into the fullness of that. Now, is it God's will to heal you personally? If he's done it for anybody, he's going to do it for you, because Acts 10, verse 34, God is no respecter of persons. He's not going to heal one and not heal another because he doesn't like Fred, but he does like Jim. I like Jim. That Jim's always good. He always turns up. I like Jim. Fred, cancer. You know, I mean, it doesn't. Romans 2:11, there is no partiality with God. He's not partial to certain people. I can tell you, I am God's favorite. Right here. God's favorite. But you know what I can say about you? You're God's favorite too. There's no partiality with God. Write it down. If Jesus has done it for anybody, he's going to do it for everybody. So, does Jesus Christ still heal today? Matthew 8:16, he healed all who were sick. All. In Greek, that's the Greek word, all. He healed all that were sick. And then Hebrews 13, verse 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, forever. Well, that died with the last apostle. That doctrine that you have should have died with the last apostle. That's so tore back. Your book of doctrine should be a coloring book. That's crazy. It died with the last. He's the same. He doesn't change. Our God is still powerful to save. In every sense of the word. And for those people right now, I know you are wrestling with this in this room. How come God can be supernatural and save you from an eternity in hell? There's a place called hell, a realm that burns all the time. But there's another realm called heaven, and there's clouds and gold streets. And you buy that. You buy that, but you don't buy the fact that he wants to do anything for your life today. Your Christianity is very weak. You are not doing the Christianity that Jesus Christ described in his Bible. A supernatural walk of faith. A miraculous life. When people leave you, do you know why they call us Christians in Antioch? They were making fun of us, but because people had the same result in their life after being with a Christian that they were with Christ. Oh, I'm so blessed. I'm so challenged. I'm so changed when I'm around that person. I have such a great time. And my brother and my nephew and the Sheehans and Hunts and a couple of the New Chapel families, we went to go see Ghostbusters this last Friday at the Getty Drive-In. And I'm here to tell you, I lost my darn mind. I was so excited. We were listening to the soundtrack the entire way. Who are you going to call? You know, I'm dancing, having a good time, rocking it out. And I think most people think preachers need to be just these little tightwads that look like Bob Newhart, always wearing a sweater vest, and they don't know how to talk to normal people and have a good time. You need to be such a blessing to everyone that you're around. You need to be so life-giving to everyone that you're around. Are you a believer? Answer me. Are you a believer? Yeah. The Bible says that these signs shall follow those who believe. Yeah. That they should speak with new tongues, cast out devils, they lay hands on the sick, and they should recover. When people come into your presence, they need to be blessed. Like, they just need blessed. We get a good waitress every once in a while. It's rare now. If we get a good waitress, man, I'll rate them a no. I went to, where did we go? We went to Smoky Bones. Jesus. You want to know what the temple in the Old Testament smelled like? Smelled like Smoky Bones. You go into Smoky Bones, and this kid, I don't know why I liked him, because he messed up my drinks. They didn't have what I wanted that night. They're out of this, they're out of that. I just liked him. And we gave him a monster tip that night. And I just wrote down on the thing, dude, I don't know why, but I like you, because you messed up my drink. But I think that you're awesome. You be blessed. God has a plan for your life. Like when people encounter you, God needs to do great things. That wasn't in my notes. That's for somebody in particular in this room in here today. So if he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, Jesus has not changed. He is the healer. Guys, look at me. The scriptural evidence is overwhelming. You have to not want to believe in this to read the New Testament and leave thinking that he's not the healer every time. You have to want to believe that. Because if you just add up your Bible, I don't care what denomination, if you just add up what the Bible says, you're going to come to the conclusion that God is good and he wants to heal your physical body. Do a miracle in your life. I was down in Tulsa, Oklahoma, working at a certain church called Victory, actually, and I was one of the youth pastors on staff, and we brought in my lifelong mentor, one of my best friends in the world. He called me up the other day and said he was going to Walmart to a hashtag Redneck Lives Matters rally, and he was joking. But, I mean, he's the funniest guy I've ever met in my life, but he is a coup. Some of you guys are laughing because you're part of that movement. Just kidding. Anyway, so I'm talking to Pastor Tommy, and we were talking about down in Tulsa. We had him in when I was youth pastor there, and he came and preached. It was awesome. He preached a phenomenal message that had nothing to do with healing. This girl came up, and we could see that she was struggling physically. And she came up, and she had a carton of cigarettes, and she threw them at him. He was like, "Oh, you know," and she said, "I'm done with all this stuff. I'm going to live for God." And he said, "Well, that's good." He says, "I see that you have some physical issues in your body right now. What's going on?" "I have tumors in my lungs. I have tumors in my abdomen. And I just think because I smoke, that probably helped it along. I just don't know if it's God's will to heal me." And so Pastor Tommy really looked at her for a second. And he said, "Sweetie, I want to ask you something. Do you know that God's a loving God? Yes. Do you know that Jesus healed all? Yes. I just want to ask you a question. If Jesus came into this room, would you believe that he could heal you?" "Oh, yeah, he could." "Do you believe that he would heal you?" "You know what? I think he would. I think Jesus would heal me." And he looked at her and he leaned in and he said, "Sweetheart, he's here." The blinders came off in a moment. Now, he did pray for her, but I believe when she became aware of God's presence, I believe that's the moment that she was healed. She came back 3 weeks later after a CAT scan of everything or whatever scans that they do when they put you in that scary tube and look at you. She came back. Tumor's gone. Guys, this isn't something I'm making up. These are people that I know. My dad had an issue with his gallbladder and with his liver. He was in the hospital for nearly 9 months. He eventually got transferred to the Fuller location, which if you want a clean place to die that's not all that clean, go to the Fuller Rehab Facility up on Fuller Avenue. It's awful. And the warden, as I'll call her, on the floor, called up my brother and said, "Get the will in order. He's not going to make it." My brother called me. I was at work in the office, and we cried on the phone together. Devastated, thinking about our dad dying. You know what didn't bother me, actually? Let me say this. If I would have gotten a call from my brother out of the blue, because my dad is 76, he was 75 at the time, if I would have gotten a call out of the blue and they said, "Dad passed away, somebody found him in bed," I would have been okay. Because he lived a full life. He has four grown kids. He's 75 years old. He will be the clearest person that you're going to go to heaven. But when you start talking about he's suffering with tubes hanging out, draining his gallbladder, in pain, has so much medicine in him he can't recognize his family, that's the devil! Don't ascribe that to God trying to teach him something. That's sick! Matthew says that he's a good father. If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your kids, how much more would our Heavenly Father give good gifts to those who love him? So PJ calls me and we're talking about Dad, and I'm like, "Okay, yeah, we'll do it. We'll get it in order. All right." I get off the phone, and the Bible says that when Jesus was confronted with his friend Lazarus, who had died, the Bible says that he was grieved in the spirit, but in the Greek it actually talks about how he snorted like a stallion. That's what happened to me. I snorted. Ugh! Not this way! Not this way! You could call me out of the blue. He had a full life. And say that his heart stopped. I'm good. He knew Jesus. But not suffering. Not sick. Not ill. He doesn't know who he is! That's wrong! Oh, I was angry. Something rose up in me. Some of you guys are like, I've never seen a preacher like this. Sometimes you gotta get angry before you can get free. Say a lot. And I prayed, God, what do you want me to do? And after praying for a long time, because I couldn't hear God because I was so angry at the devil, I felt like God said, you go in. Because at the time, Dad liked it if you would rub lotion on his legs. It gets very dry in the hospital. And if you don't use your feet for months on end, your feet get dried out. So I went in and I rubbed lotion on his legs, just like the Lord told me. And the Lord told me to pray that he would be healed. I said, Dad, I'm going to pray. When I say amen, you're going to be healed. See, the Bible says in Mark that believers will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. I knew in my spirit, the Lord didn't tell me this, that it was going to be a miracle. I had no expectation that he was going to jump out of bed and dance with me. But I knew he would recover. So I laid hands, I rubbed the lotion in, I prayed healing over his body, and I felt nothing. In fact, what did I feel? Every devil in hell tell me he's going to die right in this bed. Get ready. Pick out a burial spot. You'll never hear him play guitar again. You'll never see him enjoy his life again. It's done. Get ready. Oh, you're laying lotion. You're doing lotion. The Bible said oil, not lotion. I felt like I was supposed to do lotion. He's going to die. And I got to be honest. Over the course of the next year, there were several times where I was tempted. My sister asked me one time, is he going to pass away? Actually, several times. And I said, he may, but it'll be his decision. If he wants to go because it's too hard, I believe God will give him that freedom. I'm here to tell you that my dad, that whole situation, now we use medical science, but I believe that if we would not have prayed, he'd be dead. He's healed. I took him to the Nuevo Brewery the other day for hamburgers. He's a ham. I mean, he's funny. He's really, really annoying and really funny. I mean, like parents tend to be. And then there's Marlene Klemps. We had her in to preach one time. Marlene Klemps was born with cerebral palsy. Born with it. Couldn't walk. Couldn't speak well. Cerebral palsy. She had this vision. She couldn't convey what she was thinking or feeling very well at all. She had this vision God gave her in a dream that God was going to heal her. And what she needed to do was go through the phone book, find a certain preacher, and that certain preacher was going to pray for her and that she would be healed. She somehow conveyed that to her caretaker. The caretaker took her down to the certain church. What's funny about this is it wasn't in that guy's doctrine. Like he was one of those guys that believed that God could, but I don't know, you know. And so they brought him in. The guy just prayed what he knew. God, man, if it's your will, that she would be healed in Jesus' name. And she got up out of the wheelchair and collapsed. And she went up next to the pew and got up. And I'm not going to give you the imagery, but someone with cerebral palsy can't walk well and struggled and fell. By the time she got to the corner of the pews, she got up and she was walking. Maybe like what you look like when you wake up in the morning, but she was walking. By the time she rounded the next one, she had a stride. By the time she went around to see him again, she was running. And Marlene Klepps runs today all over the United States. She has perfect speech, perfect bodily function, perfect stride in her walking. God healed her of cerebral palsy. I'm only giving you the illustrations of the people that I know personally. There's film of her as a baby with cerebral palsy. And I can talk to her, communicate well, and she preaches. Jesus Christ heals today. Every time when you put a demand on his will, when you pull on faith, you see God come through. But are you audacious enough? Now, notwithstanding my stories, the scriptural evidence is so clear. But based on this, you need to make three determinations with me. First one is this. We need to determine that we are not going to reason ourselves out of the will of God. We're not going to reason ourselves. Oh, but Pastor Joe, if it's God's will to heal, why are there so many Christians that are sick? Okay, that's a really good question. I want you to think about this. Is it God's will for any to perish, but all to come to repentance? Part two, does everyone go to heaven? go to hell because they reject God, don't hear about God, whatever it is, right? So God's will is that all would be saved, but God's will doesn't always happen. Grand Rapids, I wish you'd get this revelation. The will of God is not mechanical. The will of God doesn't always happen. The will of God doesn't fall into your lap like ripe cherries off a tree. You have to confess the word of God, pray the will of God. Why would he tell you to pray that his will would be done on earth as it is in heaven if it immediately happened? It doesn't immediately happen. Does that make sense to you? If God could just control your will, I can tell you the first thing as a senior pastor is he'd make you pay your tithes. That's it. That'd be the first thing. But we know that if God doesn't mechanically force people to do things, it just doesn't work that way. So what does that mean? We can't walk by what we see. We can't walk by our experience. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. The first 2 weeks of the series, last week and this week, I'm building your hope. Not even your faith. Because a lot of you are just getting to the spot where you believe, I believe he can do it. And that is hope. The next 2 weeks, next week and the week after that, I'm going to build something in you that if you go on the journey with me, I will show you that he's not going to do it. He has done it. And you can just start to walk in the fact that you can receive and abide and possess the land. Does that make sense to you? But you can't walk by what you see. That's the funny thing that separates me from the world. They walk by what they see. Oh, it doesn't look good. Doesn't look right. I don't know. I don't walk by what I see. I walk by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So next week, we're going to talk to you about faith. Number two, we need to determine. I need to move on. We need to determine that we're not going to put our experience above the word of God. I want to let you know that Jesus Christ is the standard for theology. Amen. Not your experience. But so often we experience negative things, and what we do is we create doctrines to back up our experience instead of siding with the Word of God. And I get it, guys. It's hard when you see a faithful Christian die. Questions rise up. I get that. And that is the plan of the enemy, to try to put a chip in your shoulder so you undermine God. But we can't allow someone else's negative experiences, including our own, to trump the Word of God. Let's make the determination. We're going to let the Word of God inform our beliefs here at New Chapel. Number three, write it down. We need to determine that what we're going to do is trust God no matter what. We're going to trust God no matter what. No matter what happens. 2 Timothy chapter 4, the Lord will rescue me from every evil attack. Stop. Everybody look at me. That's where your faith needs to be. Every evil attack, he's going to rescue me. And then he says this, and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. I want you to think about this. Because I know good people who were standing in faith who didn't get healed. We're going to talk about that very frankly in the fourth week. Why did this awesome person who was standing in faith, who ministered healing to other people, why did they die? This is the even if scripture. Even if they die, he receives them into a heavenly kingdom. Like the worst thing that you can do a Christian is kill him and we die and go to heaven. You know what I'm saying? Last breath here, first breath there. Our trust needs to be in God completely. No matter what we face. No matter what doctor's report you face. Guys, let me just tell you something. Faith is already beginning to rise in this room, but I want to let you know I'm not going to be praying for the sick today. I'm not going to be praying for anybody. Unless you have a terminal illness and it's either today or this week you're going to die, I'm not going to pray for you because I think it's irresponsible. What happens is you work up emotion enough, somebody prays for you, and you receive a manifestation in your body, but you don't have the maturity to know how to keep it. So then you lose it and build a doctrine on it. And that's why we have some of the bad teaching that we have today. But I am going to be praying for the sick on July 31st. And I believe that we're going to see the miraculous. Because we built a foundation. The first week we talked about how it's God's signature miracle. Healing is not a topic. It's a person. This week we talked about how it's God's will. And how you can know it's God's will for you. What's God's will? That you would not have arthritis, back pain, cancer, AIDS, abdominal pain. pain and aches in your body, restless leg syndrome, depression, all of these physical things, mental things that torment our lives. It is not God's will for you. How do you know that, Pastor Joe? How can you be so bold? The pressure is not me. Pressure's on my God. Because he says about himself in his word in Acts 10, verse 38, that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all those who were oppressed of the devil. For God was with him. And then it says this in verse 43, through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sin. If you don't know God in this place, this miraculous God that heals, today's your day. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Father, we thank you for what you're doing in this place today. Thank you, Lord, for a church that will side with the Word of God, even when it's not popular. Father, we thank you that you minister to the heart of people. And Lord, if there's anyone in this room that doesn't know you, I'd ask you to help me find them. In Jesus' name. Heads bowed, eyes closed. I just want to talk to you for a second. I don't know what you're going through, where you came from, but you're here today. God brought you here today. He's been preparing your heart for this moment. And throughout this whole message, you may not understand everything in your mind. You may not be able to reason everything in your mind, but something in the depth of your heart, as I preach today, constantly said, yep, 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 yep. Like it resonated with you. And you don't want a religion anymore that's apart from the power of God. What you want to see is God's power strong in your behalf. A real God that just doesn't, by burden of proof, affect our eternity, but he affects our today. If that's you in this place, we're going to say a prayer. If you mean it from the bottom of your heart, the Bible says that you will be saved. And that includes eternal life in heaven. You won't go to a Christless eternity. You can know where your eternity is, and you can also know that God has blessings for you today. Let's pray together. Everyone say this with me. Say, Father, in Jesus' name, I come before you today in search of a new way. You said your word, if I would call Jesus Lord, I would be saved. Jesus, I now call you Lord. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for washing me clean. Father, I thank you for these people in here today that accepted Christ. Lord, I thank you that you do surround them with other believers, faith-filled people. Father, I thank you that as we launch small groups this fall, that they'll find their place. Lord, I thank you that when they come into this place, they find freedom and not religion. God, I thank you that their head will be lifted high because they know that God has done power on their behalf. In Jesus' name. Church, give it up for those people that accepted Christ. That's good, amen? Amen. Hey, we're going to transition our service right now into the generosity portion. And if you came ready today to worship God with your giving, today is the day. Typically in the summer, we see people give about half. And the summer is no different. So I just want to challenge you that if God is number one in your life, just make sure to do a heart check. Ask Jesus what your part to play is in the kingdom of God. Proverbs 3 verse 9, Scripture says, honor the Lord with your possessions and the first fruits of your increase, it's talking about the tithe, so that your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. And we have a tendency to drift, especially during the summer. You know what I'm talking about? Man, I was on a weight loss kick. I was doing so good in June. I was working on my fitness. God's my witness. And I was making this thing happen. I was looking good. And then all of a sudden July hit, and I start eating all kinds of like hot dogs and hamburgers and cramming Fritos and Frito pies and s'mores, and that's Monday, okay? So we have a tendency to drift in the summer. You know what I'm talking about? And I gotta go on vacation, we gotta get in the swing of things. That's why in September our mind begins to change, and we're like, we going back to church. You know what I'm talking about? When mom says that, you're going. You're kidding, and he's like, oh, your voice is breaking. Okay, I'll go. You know, stop yelling. But we have a tendency to drift in the summer. You know what I'm talking about? And don't let your giving do that. The Bible says to give as you purpose in your heart. don't let your purpose drift. Be purposeful. So here's what I want you to do. There's no pressure to give. I've never asked you to give. What I ask you to do is to ask Jesus. So I just want to take 5 seconds. Just take a pause for the cause. In your heart, just ask Jesus what your part to play is in the kingdom. So, Father, we don't give because we have to. We give because we love you. We love you. And, Father, as people prepare to give today in all the different ways, Lord, I thank you that they give purposefully. Not because they have to, but because, Jesus, you are the center of their life. Father, we just want to obey you. We thank you, Lord, that as you do it, you'll be given back to us, good measure, crushed down, shaken together, and running over. That, Lord, you pour us out blessings in our life that are material and immaterial. That, Father, you open doors of opportunity at work and in the marketplace like no man could do. That, Father, you surround us with favor as a shield and open up doors of opportunity in our lives. Father, I thank you right now as people give, supernatural promotion happens in their life. In Jesus' name. And, Father, we give ultimately to further your kingdom. This is our act of worship, sir. We love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Everybody said? Amen. They're going to be passing those buckets. We're back in just a second.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more information, visit newchapel.com.